The first poet we're going to read tonight is Bert. Bert, where you at, Brother Bert?
Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Bert. I'm going to read a poem that I call Bio One Notes. I wrote it in a class that I was in once. I didn't really feel like paying attention, so I just wrote a poem instead. Here it goes. Life bows before us, most intelligent of all, but our fate is decided by the rolling of a ball. United we stand, and united we will fall. When grace calls upon thee, will your grace hear the call? Something says I'm on to you, pleading dreams and colors to an unwanted second staff. The second that endures the pain of breath, the pain to stand, no wonder the boy has a knife in his hand. The power to cure, but in the will to defeat, an enemy as corrupt as the men in his fleet. Can we bear arms on this frightening day, to flee to the country and leave here and stay? In love, alive, but I still see this everywhere I go. A bridge of colors, cross it and have experimental mind flow. The flows of our hands intertwined together. Only us and our brains are bounded, not by flesh and steel, but by an absence of all but a soul. The white-eyed child with the black-eyed crow, the symbol of change in wherever he goes. He sees a bird, a representation, something like him, familiar he knows. Will he live to fight a war? The light he sees is shining. Lighter and brighter, it gains energy. Without it, life is a bore. What if the world and sentient clouds were your only link to reality? Block it out, close your eyes, and you will see the essence of humanity.
Touched the net. Well, on my best day, I might hit the net. All right. Nice stuff, my man. Nice stuff. Elise, where you at?
My name is Alyssa. This is called Silent Prey. I cannot remember his name. I am blanking on his name. I can see his face and his eyes, of course those eyes, and the way he tried to hide his baldness. I mean, I could try to explain how there was this sick feeling, the way he would look at me, penetrating as if he was taking me in, almost like I was silent prey, that he had caught a flicker of light he would try to extinguish. Sometimes I can remember it, but other times, locked for my protection, like a box or a door, I can't remember. But why his name? Because I certainly can recall what he did, and I can remember the way he wanted to be seen, how he wanted me to see him intimidate me in that way. And I felt like I did something wrong, and I really tried hard to be good, to be better, and not to be confused. No, not to be confused. And to pretend, maybe if I pretended he wouldn't look at me like that, he wouldn't whisper in my ear. And I wondered if other people noticed. They had to notice, right? I mean, it was obvious. But then again, we were 12 years old, and he was the teacher. So when I say people, I mean other kids, other children. But certainly they must have noticed. I still blame myself for being silent. It's hard to understand that part. I mean, I understand now, but I still can't remember his name.
Would you like to read that again because of music? Would you like to read that again because of music interference?
Nobody
would object.
No, I think we heard it, Jerry.
Could hear it. Hey, this is our room back here. We can't let no music come in here. We make our own music.
Next poet is a friend of mine, and I said for 40 years plus, Michael Worcester. Thank you, Don. Thanks to the people who were going to leave but stayed around because I made them. I'm going to read two poems. The first poem that I'm going to read was written quite some time ago, inspired by this young fellow over here with the glasses on. I wrote this when he was 3 years old. And the reason I wrote it was because I was inspired by his creativity and his playfulness at that age. There's a reference in here to a character called Killer Joe. Killer Joe is the name of a great jazz classic by a guy named Benny Golson, and he's personified in the poem. The title is one for Benny, and the Benny in the title is this Benny. It starts with an epigraph. On the bulletin board at Pep's Musical Bar, a group photograph. Alex, Razzle, Fox, Worcester, Shaz Moran, Pete Outlaw, Tom Trawick, German, and Kathy's Clown. Driving through Philadelphia in the early morning, it was hardly past dawn. There was Killer Joe out in front of his house. He was grabbing up huge handfuls of newly cut grass, throwing the grass in the air, his cat leaping for it like a true Zen cat of all understanding. And Joe was a happy mountain monk, reincarnate and of true understanding. Hello, pork pie hat. Thank you. I'm going to read a second poem. Poetry begets poetry. I think Stuart will recognize where this comes from if I can get it out of my pocket here. No title so far, but here's the poem. I once witnessed Woody Vail and Jeb Burden destroy a room full of furniture with karate chops. With each strike, I seem to remember they shouted, "Hukusai!" That's the poem. The next poet we have here is Kristen. Kristen.
I was thinking about the last time I read publicly, and it might have been here in 2009. The last time I read publicly was probably here in 2009. I've shared a lot of poems with workshops, including Mad Women and currently Hour After Happy Hour, and a lot with friends who will listen to me, usually over drinks. But yeah, here's one that was recently workshopped. Haven't looked at the edits yet, but I will eventually. as we're wont to do. Yeah. I-79 North on a Tuesday in April 2016. Driving I-79 North reminds me of falling in love. Headed to a wedding the week after we met, the speeding ticket with your name and my vehicle registration, the closest thing we'll have to a marriage license with where we're going. Traffic moves slower than I can afford. I fear what the doctor will say, the price of tests to be run, bill collectors I will ignore because the cost of illness is too high. I am like the barns that line the interstate, broken edifice, utility lessened with years. I think of the big sky in the west, not pockmarked with clouds like the one above me. Remind myself that proximity to fast-moving water will heal my ails, the negative ions like the rock crystals, the Reiki, the herbs. Suspension of the car still shaky, or is it the transmission? Entropy is winning this war, it seems. Tomorrow I will go to my parents, endeavor to bandage the wounds that are unpaid bills, a phone shut off, piles of paper strewn across the table left by a father incapable of making ends meet. I ask myself what recoveries can be made, what pieces can be picked up as we charge relentlessly forward, trajectories unencumbered by personal limitation. I'm thirsty again. The doctor says, use more salt, raw honey. This antibiotic won't turn you red in the sun. There's no way to get a prognosis, not when Western medicine disbelieves in your disease. That's good. The nerve damage seems to have subsided. Something must be working. How's your appetite? I'm not one who can advise on energy healing supplements. Do what you think works. You're your own best doctor, anyhow. In 2 miles, take the exit on the right. You will arrive at your destination at 3:52 p.m. The peace of mind will not be worth the money, but what else can be done that doesn't seem like standing still? Does anyone care? Dolores repeats. I try to match her pitch, vibrato. How can they? They cannot know the weight the body takes, the psychic load of a life that's not their own. Bridge freezes before the road, a reminder of the fragility of things ungrounded. Sacral chakra open, sun nearly overhead. There's hope yet in reaching the destination before sundown. Stop for the school bus to let the kids off. Highway 18 is such a lonely stretch. Turquoise stains a segment of the asphalt, the mountains azul, the trees beyond them brown, still jagged with winter. You're perfectly healthy. You don't look sick, they say. Are you sure you're not just depressed? That can be debilitating. Oh, is it curable? What are you going to do? I forget to hold my breath near graveyards these days. Remind me. How many water towers can you see from a roof on a clear morning? Last night, I let an ambulance pass me on the highway. Said a prayer for the person inside like I used to when I was young. We can never see the miles that lie beyond us, before us, beyond the curve. Do more than keep our hands and eyes steady. Move with the speed of other vessels hurtling.
Thank you, Chris. And no more poets today. I'm going to wind it down here. I never, ever, ever in my life want to miss an opportunity to read with Michael Worcester. If I get a chance, you know, I'm going to just jump on that boat. Very simple, an epigram. All the rights in the world sometimes just don't balance the scales. I like vulgarity. I really do. But it's how you say it. You know, if you're going to swear, I mean, if you're going to get in the gutter, make sure you know the depth of slime. You know, it's important. Just don't drop an F-bomb. I mean, do it with conviction. The art of swearing. She said, you know you swear a lot. I said, oh. I know how you feel about swearing, but if you could go one day without swearing, it will cleanse your soul. I said, don't want to cleanse my soul. She says, you know, swearing is a sign of limited vocabulary. She also said, you should use other words instead of filthy words. I said, dang. You use the F word all the time. I said, full, flare, flash, furry, fuzz. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next week. I'm not going to finish the poem.